something that is a little bit different than the regular malachas that we usually talk about on our Monday evening shiurim. And that is some halachas of pikuach nefesh, and not everything will be pikuach nefesh, but health issues, which relates partly to some of the pikuach nefesh issues as well. The Gemara actually tries to figure out where we know that you're allowed to be mechallel Shabbos to save lives on Shabbos, and it brings numerous sources and rejects most of them, and the Gemara concludes that the source that tells us that we are mechallel Shabbos for pikuach nefesh is the pasuk v'chai bahem. So it says we have to live in our mitzvos, in the mitzvos v'lo, and the Gemara understands that to mean v'lo sheyomus bahem, mitzvos are not to kill us, but to make us live. And 2 points emanate from the fact that we conclude that that is the source. Without getting into the details, we assume that a person is allowed to save a life even if it's only a suffix of pikuach nefesh. So for example, let's say a building collapses and the person, the Jew in that building, might be dead already, might be alive. We assume that it's a suffix, you could save the person. Let's say you're not even sure if there was a person in there in the first place. And even if they were there, then they might be dead or alive. So it's a double suffix. We would still dig it up and see if there's somebody there, and if that person is there, to save that person. Let's say it's a triple suffix. Maybe there's nobody, maybe there's somebody. Maybe even if there's somebody, maybe it wasn't the Jewish person who would warrant pikuach nefesh. Maybe it would be a person who warrants pikuach nefesh. And even if it is a person who warrants pikuach nefesh, maybe they're already dead. A triple suffix. Even in that case, we'd violate an issa d'oraisa to save the person, even in a suffix of a suffix of a suffix. Point is, even if there are a lot of sfeikos, we do anything that needs to be done to save a life. This point, which we know is clear, which we know is halacha, there were certain times in history that there might have been people that might have been clear about this. There's Rabbi Shechter quoted a Sefer HaChashmonaim, which is not part of our Mesorah. It's a, what's the word? Apocrypha. Is there a better word?
Sefer
Chitzoni. What? Sefer Chitzoni. I don't know if it's Sefer Chitzoni. Yeah, so in the Apocrypha, Sefer HaChashmonaim, apparently, I don't know if it was, it described a sect of Jews that when they were attacked on Shabbos, they wouldn't fight back. So that's not smart. That's not lahalacha. And of course, if Chas V'Shalom, there's an attack on Shabbos, we would attack, we would respond in kind, we even violate Yisurim D'Oraisa to protect ourselves. And that is something that we all have to keep in mind. And if there's ever a Shiloh that is a question of pikuach nefesh, you violate Shabbos, however you need to do it, to save a life, period. In fact, there's, I don't remember what it is, if it's a Shulchan Aruch or a Chazal, that talks about the responsibility that if there's a question in the community and somebody comes to the Rav to ask if this pikuach nefesh and something happens, it's the rabbi's fault that he didn't educate the population to realize that pikuach nefesh is doch hashaz, and that they shouldn't have had the question asked to him in the first place. They should have just done whatever needs to be done. So therefore, I want to make sure that I exonerate myself or can acquit myself in all such circumstances. I'm hereby announcing that if there's ever pikuach nefesh, do what you have to do. Don't worry about asking anybody. We'll talk about certain scenarios where there are different ways to do things that we'll speak about momentarily. Among the, again, another point of history before we get into the halachos, among the issues that the Karaim disputed with our Mesorah, we were familiar with the fact that they didn't use flame on Yontif, they didn't have any hot food, because they understood the pasuk lo tzivaru esh v'chomash v'seichem, that you can't have a fire being maintained. Not just you can't, we understand it mean to mean you can't ignite a fire, you can't kindle a fire. They understood lo tzivaru esh v'chomash v'seichem v'yom ha-shabbat, so you can't have a fire on Shabbos, and therefore they wouldn't have candlelight, they wouldn't have warm food, they wouldn't have a warm fire to keep them warm because of their misinterpretation. In addition to that, that we might be familiar with, is another point that they also did not accept pikuach nefesh on Shabbos. So according to the Karaim, if somebody's hit by a car, you just let them wither a painful death there and not violate Shabbos. We do not hold like that. Rather, we are, of course, mechallel Shabbos for pikuach nefesh. Now let's get into some of the beginnings of the discussions. There's a discussion whether chilul Shabbos for pikuach nefesh is hutra or dechuya. These are two terms that are used in various places in Shas. Hutra means the following: if there's pikuach nefesh it is considered a Tuesday morning, not Shabbos. As opposed to Dechuya, Docha means to push off. It's really Shabbos, but Shabbos pushes off the halachas of, I'm sorry, Pikuach Nefesh pushes away the halachas of Shabbos, so it's really Shabbos, but I could push it away when I need to save somebody's life. And you'll see what the difference is going to be. The difference is going to be when you could have your cake and eat it too. When you could avoid violating Shabbos and save the life, are you obligated to do what you need to do to save the life and simultaneously be able to keep Shabbos? Do you have to do that or not? What's the classic example? Should you drive the car? Should you get a guy to drive the car? If we assume that Pekach Nefesh's Hutra is permitted entirely, it's Tuesday. Are you allowed to drive a car on Tuesday? You, Jewish person, are you allowed to drive a car on Tuesday? Yes, of course. So therefore you're allowed to ask. So therefore you yourself will drive the car on Shabbos. If, however, we assume that it's not that Pekach Nefesh it just turns it into Tuesday, but rather is Docha Shabbos, it pushes it off, but if there's a way to have your cake and eat it too, to have your keeping Shabbos and save the life, for example, by having a guy drive, then one would ask the guy to drive. Obviously, and this is not going into the question that I just asked, the putra as opposed to the huya, if it will cause a time delay, or it will not be an efficient driver, or the driver is not safe, or whatever other situations which will cause the driver not to be reliable in a pikuach nefesh situation, so that's not a, of course you're going to drive yourself. But in a case where you could equally drive a Jew drive on Shabbos or a non-Jew drive on Shabbos, which one? That will depend on whether we assume that in general pikuach nefesh is hutra entirely, permitted entirely, or it only pushes away the halachas of Shabbos, but if there's a way to fulfill both, then we should try to fulfill both. Similarly, if a person, there's a very halacha lemaisa situation, let's say there's a hatzala person, is there any advantage for him to turn on his ignition with a shinui? Again, assuming it's not going to cause any slower response time or anything that will take longer in terms of saving the life, if they could just turn on the ignition with a, you know, let's say they turn on the ignition with their, you know, their pointer and their thumb. So I don't know, if they turn it with their pinky and their ring finger, it'll take just as quick. It's a little awkward, feels a little funny, but it's pretty much just as quick, maybe a fraction of a second less. So should they do that or not? With a shinui, maybe use it with their left hand. That might take actually an extra few seconds because the keys are on the right side, because most people are righties, except for those who are lefties. So should a person, should Mr. Hatzalah use a shinui when he violates Shabbos? The answer is, if we assume that Shabbos is, that Pikuach Nefesh makes it Hutra, it's like Tuesday, so Tuesdays you don't use shinuyim, so don't use a shinui now either. If, however, it's only Dechuy, it only pushes it off, meaning it pushes it out of the way when they're at odds, well, here you could have your cake and eat it too. You could have your keeping Shabbos, at least on a Doraisa level, by turning on the ignition with a shinui, and you could save the life, so do it with the shinui. How do we paskin? So, this is subject to machlokas, but in general, the Ramah is machmir for Shabbos to be considered dechuya. So if a person, if there's chil Shabbos that needs to be done, and a guy could equally do it, so it might be better to have the guy do it for us, if again, there's not going to be a time delay, there won't be an inefficiency, or a less of a reliability. If you trust Hatzalah more than you trust EMS for various reasons and for various aspects of the emergency situation, so then, of course, call Hatzalah. If there's nothing that you're nervous about, so one could argue to maybe call have a goy do the malacha instead of a Jew. This last point that I said on a Shabbos, it's better to, we consider it techuya, and it's better to try to have a goy do it or try to do b'shinei. Again, that's subject to machlokas, but this is what the Ramah and the Shulchan Aruch does paskin. Any questions on this point? Okay, yeah?
Let's say it's like calling for somebody else to do it, like to call a taxi instead. How is that really helping the situation? Because either way, you're saying like to go outside.
So calling is not so clear that calling is the Nisa Daraisa. Driving is clearly Nisa Daraisa. Perhaps every time you press the accelerator, perhaps every time you press the brake, that might be a separate Issa Daraisa. There are lots of Issa Daraisa in one drive. Calling on a telephone is a question if it's Nisa Daraisa or not. Rishon Zalman holds my own, it's probably only the Rabbanan. While you rebeim, follow Rishon Zalman, that might only be Nisa Daraisa. So calling is much more, much, 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 much more lenient than driving. by tenfold, by 10 billionfold. Correct. So you're asking what would be this? That's a great. I was thinking that as I was saying this. You're asking, let's say it's not such an emergency, but it's emergency enough that you have to call Hetzel. It's an emergency enough that you have to break Shabbos to get to the hospital, but time is not so of the essence. It doesn't make a difference if it's going to be a half hour or 5 minutes. So you have two options. You can call Hetzel or you can call EMS. Hetzel has a much quicker response time. That's why I'm saying this. EMS has a slower response time. But let's say that's not important. Either way, you have to get to the hospital within a half hour. Okay? Now, ideally, if it's... And they're going to treat you the same, let's say. So now, I want to know if I could... If I should call EMS, because I don't need to violate Shabbos. I don't need to have a Jew violate Shabbos. Or I should just call Hatzalah, because it will save me $1,000... It was actually $750, if I remember correctly. This past summer, we were in a car accident, so I broke my arm, and my wife, Baruch Hashem, was nothing. It was just a momentary whiplash, but it wasn't anything. We were in the car together, and we got hit. So Hatzalah came, and EMS came. So I went with EMS, and my wife went with Hatzalah. So my wife didn't get a bill, I got a bill for $750. So Baruch Hashem, the person who hit us, had, you know, his insurance had to pay, so we didn't have to pay that anyway, but... Yeah, that was made me appreciate Hatzalah even more. So if you haven't given to heitzhatzalah.org, I encourage you, heitzhatzalah.org, I encourage you to give your share. Okay, let's go to the next part. I don't know the answer. I'm sorry. I'm not right. I was just repeating your question. I don't know the answer. Next point. The Gemara says, let's say, and it all sort of relates to what we just said, let's say there's a situation at Pikuach Nefesh, right? Somebody collapses in the shul. So who should go and call 911? Who should call Hatzalah? Should it be the kid? Should it be the person, the adult in shul? Or should it be, maybe it should be the rabbi? So the Gemara says that you should not have, if an emergency has to be taken care of, and time is of the essence, don't ask a katan to do it, don't ask a guy to do it. Rather, bedafka have the adult, have the gadol do it. What does the word gadol mean? That's a great question. So it's a machlokas, what the word gadol means. So some understand the word gadol means to an adult. Don't have a katan do it, or a guy do it, but rather have a gadol meaning a Jewish adult person, who's even though they're fully mechayev mitzvahs, because you want to show that we are mechal Shabbos. The Rambam says, no, that's not the word gadol means. Gadol means the gadol of the Torah. It means the biggest Talmud Chacham in the place, the Rosh Yeshiva, should be the one to be mechal Shabbos. Why? What do you gain by having the Rosh Yeshiva mechal Shabbos? Why should he call 911? Exactly, to show everybody else in shul and the yeshiva that you're supposed to, and you should go ahead, and you shouldn't question yourself, and the person should be b'chal Shabbos. That's how the Rambam writes, understands the Gemara. The Gadol is the Gadol shebachachamim, not just the adult. So either way, if an issue comes up, don't wait, don't try to call. If it's an emergency, don't try to get a katan to do it. Don't try to get somebody else. You go ahead, run and do it, and that's the appropriate thing to do. What about if the emergency does not apply to a person, but to a fetus, an unborn fetus? Are we mechal Shabbos for an unborn fetus? Apparently, I heard Rosh Hashanah say that this point is a machlokas rishonim. If we consider a fetus a significant enough entity for which to violate Shabbos, and it's not cited in the Shulchan Aruch at all, and therefore, we're left with a suffix. What do we do if it's a suffix in Pikuach Nefesh? As we started, we are two ways to say it. Instead of calling it being Mekel in Hilchas Shabbos, we'll call it being Machmir in Hilchas Pikuach Nefesh. And therefore, halacha l'maisa, we are Mekel and we do save the life of an unborn fetus, even if no adult is at any risk whatsoever. So if there's a pregnant woman, and let's say she feels great, but she doesn't feel any kicking, let's say after a few months when they normally feel kicking, so that would be, if it's after a certain amount of time and it's unreasonable and they drink some grape juice or some sugar water and there's still no response, they are nervous about the situation of the unborn fetus, then they would drive to the hospital to Pikuach Nefesh for the fetus, even if the mother feels fine. The next point is obvious, but just still needs to be articulated. We are not Mechal Shabbos for a behema. If an animal is sick, if an animal is in life and danger, we are not mechala Shabbos. Okay, so now, let's talk about, for the next, for the duration of this year, the four categories of a chola that you might be familiar with, and we'll hopefully talk about specifics that might be new to people, even though you're familiar with the four categories, of where Chil Shabbos and what levels of Chil Shabbos can be violated for the different categories of a chola. So first category is somebody who has a, what do we call in halacha, a mechush ba'alma, just a little bit of a pain. They're not, certainly not deathly ill, they're not even, you know, bedridden, they don't have a terrible migraine, they're in pain. Something bothers them, it's a toothache, it's a mild headache, it's a, you know, a sprained ankle. Actually, a sprained ankle might be something else. Before we start, let's back up. The very first I started as the rabbi in the shul on Yom Kippur. That was when my position began, Yom Kippur, whatever, 4 or 5 years ago. And as we were walking into shul on that Yom Kippur, a young lady walking in for Kol Nidre was coming up these steps right outside and fell and twisted her ankle. And it was already just about Yom Kippur. And the question was, she couldn't really walk home. Could you have a guy take her, you know, drive her either to the hospital, I mean, it wasn't a dangerous situation, just either broken or twisted ankle, or have a guy drive her home. So we'll get to, that was my first shiloh here in Schenck, as literally the first moments of my rabbinical career began. We'll talk about that shiloh, because it's not nogei right now, but it will be nogei in a few minutes. So let's start with this first level. The first level is what we call mechush ba'alma. Something fabulously funny happens. If a person is in a little bit of pain, not only do we not give them any kulas, but we give them a chumrah. What's the consideration? The consideration is, if you're makel, if you allow somebody to do something, because they're in a little bit of pain, we're worried that because of their pain, they might come to violate an issa d'oraisa, so therefore we throw the book at them and make their life even, I don't want to say more miserable, but more miserable. Because we're worried that the little bit of pain might push them to do an issa d'oraisa, so we limit them, and of course that's the halacha, that a person who has a mild pain is not allowed to take medicine. There's a gzera d'rabbanan of shchikas samimanim, they might come to be shochek, not to play with, but to grind up pills. I have a student who was in pharmacy school, and he actually liked the different aspects of pharmacology and being in the pharmacy field. And the thing that he liked was actually working in a certain special, unique kind of pharmacy where they actually compound medications and they actually did still grind. Most pharmacists, I don't think, do any grinding nowadays. And that brings us to a very important question. If pharmacies nowadays don't grind, and when you and I take medications and try to heal people, we don't grind, so that would seem to indicate that the whole reason for not taking medications for mild pains doesn't exist anymore. You have a gzera d'rabbanan that you might come to grind up the spices, the herbs, and the whole reason doesn't apply anymore, so maybe the whole takana ought not apply anymore. That's what some have suggested in recent years. But let me add to you one little bit of information. When we say that a person is not allowed to take medication for refuah if it's, again, a mild pain, the halacha is not just that they're not allowed to take a refuah. It's also, the Gemara says, they're not allowed to put like a hot water bottle on their body. Sometimes you have a back pain, you just want to put something like hot something on your back. Even that, the Gemara says, is not okay. Now let me ask you a question. Is there any grinding involved with putting a hot water bottle on an aching something or other? No. Yet the Gemara says that it's still problematic because you might come to do shchika samimana. So you see from that extra case that we extend the concern for shchika samimana, that a person might come to grind spices, even in a scenario where there is no concern you're going to grind anything up in this specific application of the refuah. Rather, because of the general concern of shchika samimana, of grinding up spices or herbs, we therefore made a blanket iser of refuah. Now, where did this rationale of those, there was one opinion a little while ago who did want to suggest that it should be permitted nowadays to have to take medications because we don't grind our spices, that's based on a Tosos. There's a Tosos who suggests, I don't think we pass like this either, but there's a Tosos who says that why are we not allowed to play instruments on Shabbos? So Gemara tells us because you might break them and come to fix it, and fixing the instrument would be a malacha d'oraisa of tikkun kli, let's say, and therefore we don't want to play the instrument lest you come to fix it if it should break. That's a Gemara. Comes the Tosis and says, comes some of the Rishonim and say, wait a second, nowadays, do you know how to fix any instruments? Do you know how to fix any instruments?
People who play them do that.
Tuning a piano, guitar string.
Come on, just say no. Okay. So of course we don't. None of you, none of me know how to fix any instruments, and therefore, Tosa says since nowadays people are not bekiyim in fixing instruments, perhaps the whole iser of playing instruments on Shabbos in the first place shouldn't apply. Why? The reason of that you might fix it doesn't apply. So therefore, the whole gzera d'abanan of not playing music in the first place ought not apply. Well, based on that logic, by instruments, some thought, incorrectly, some thought, so too, the whole reason of grinding up spices doesn't apply, maybe also the Issa Refua of Shrik, which is only Gzera Shema, you'll come to do Shrikas Samman, should also not apply, and that's why they thought perhaps it would be mutter nowadays to do Refua. But again, we proved that that wasn't correct, based on the fact that Chazal apply the Issa Refua even to something like a hot water bottle where there's no possibility of grinding up, and yet we still say you're not allowed to apply a water bottle because it's broad-based iser of refuah for somebody who is just mildly in pain. Question.
Yeah, was the reason for the hot water bottle because you might come to grind something?
It's part of this general, because you might come to grind up spices, Chazal made a general gzera on refuah, and therefore anything refuah-like, is usur, even if there's nothing to do with any spices. I mean, it's not involving any ingesting of any foods or kinds of...
Right, but it doesn't have anything to do with bishul. I would have thought that maybe you might heat up water to put in the...
No, as far as I understand, it doesn't have anything to do with bishul. But I hear what you're saying. Any other questions on this point? Yeah.
I don't think that really answers the question, because if someone is a little bit sick, and they're going to put a hot water bottle on, and it was a time period where you could crush something to make yourself feel better... It kind of follows the train of thought that, yes, they might actually feel, oh, it's not really helping me, I'm going to crush these herbs.
You're saying that by permitting them to put a hot... If we would permit
a
hot water bottle, it would also make them take...
They could get to that point, right. But today we don't really get to that point at all.
I hear your argument. You have to know a little bit more about... I mean, we have to find out, maybe you know more than me because you're in school about this. But about medical history, if they had general pain relievers for bad, meaning whatever things that they used, hot water bottles, was the next step to take medication, or that there were different?
I mean, you could, well, exactly, willow bark and is where we get Tylenol from, acetaminophen, and people used to use that as a general anesthesia everywhere.
Okay, I hear your point. It's a good point. One thing that we do permit is. Even for, again, we're in the world of mild pains. Not severe pains, not migraines, not even twisted ankles, which we'll talk about. Talking about mild pains. So for mild pains, it would therefore not be appropriate to take medicine. If a person has a little toothache, a person has a little headache, a person has a little something or other, they shouldn't be taking medications, unless it's a ma'achal bri'im. If it's a food that even healthy people consume, then it would be mutter. So let's say you have a sore throat and your friend tells you, I guess it works better in the base medrash than in the, women's section. You take a shot of whiskey, a shot of vodka, it'll just, clear up your throat. So now a shot of whiskey and a shot of vodka is, you do that? A shot of whiskey, a shot of vodka is definitely a machal briyam, lots of healthy people enjoy taking shots of whiskey and vodka, and therefore, even if you're taking it only, you hate whiskey, you hate vodka, you're doing it only to help your sore throat, since it's a ma'achal briyam, it will nevertheless be permitted entirely based on that, mouthwash would also be permitted. Because again, even if a person has whatever situation, they have to kill germs inside, they have a mouth infection, they need the alcohol to kill their the infection in their mouth. But since mouthwash in general is a ma'achal briyim, it's something that healthy people use regularly. So even if this person in this situation is taking it only because of their sickness, but this whole enterprise is mutter because, I mean, the whole enterprise of mouthwash is mutter because it is a ma'achal for briyim. It's a food for healthy people. As far as vitamins, in general, it's a gigantic machlokas rishonim, and the Igros Moshe paskins that it is better, it's nachon lahachmir, to avoid taking vitamins. If there's a specific vitamin that a doctor prescribes for a serious situation in terms of a very serious iron or vitamin something or other deficiency, speak to your LOR. But in general terms, the vitamins that we take should be avoided taking on Shabbos, all things being equal, unless, again, there are some extenuating circumstances.
Going back to the mouthwash for a second, let's say it's like a special kind of mouthwash that's meant for, like, let's say, after a gum grind or something.
Okay, so let's say there's medicated mouthwash for after oral surgery.
Because then there's, like,
I don't know the answer.
Are those prescriptions, or is that something you buy?
It's like,
Should we make a difference?
Like Benadryl spray.
I don't know, what?
Same idea. Benadryl spray.
Those are steroids.
Benadryl would probably be the general. Benadryl is not something that healthy people take.
Right.
So therefore, Benadryl, unless they will see what the other will see if what how sick you have to be to take it. But if a person has just a little, you know, runny nose or a little itchy here or there, they probably shouldn't be taking Benadryl. I think refu would be not just ingesting; would be doing other acts of refu. It might still be a problem if spray, but I don't want to go down on the record for that. If you could check with me during the week, if spray is equally problematic as like a pill or like a liquid, but I think anything that we do because of refu is a problem. Not just taking, again, putting a water bottle on your back is also refu. There's no ingestion there. The ingestion. There's no taking, eating something, consuming something. Yeah. The answer is, as we'll see soon, children are always allowed to take medicine, or you're always allowed to do. We'll see soon. Children, whatever I just said until now does not apply to children. Children, you can give all medications always, and we'll see what else you're allowed to do for children. You're allowed to do even more than that for children. Yeah.
Just because someone brought up Benadryl, a lot of times it's used like preemptively for allergies. Are you allowed to take a medication if you're totally feeling fine, but it will help with possible symptoms that could arise?
Okay, so if I remember correctly, I don't have this prepared or in my notes. If I remember correctly, sometimes this happens to me. Let's say I wake up with a headache, and I know the way my headaches work is that when I wake up with this kind of headache, by 2 in the afternoon, it's going to be a migraine. It's going to be the kind of case that definitely is mutter. I believe I'm allowed to take that Advil or the Excedrin, you know, at 7 in the morning, 8 o'clock in the morning, to preempt what I know is going to necessitate me to take medication later. So if you know that the way your allergies, based on the season, the pollen count, you know, you wake up, you know, you live before Shabbos, you hear the pollen count is crazy high. You wake up, you know, Shabbos morning and with a little sniffle. But you know the pollen count, as it gets windier late in the day, it's going to really blow up and you're going to be totally out of commission. And in such a way that would warrant you to take Benadryl at 2, you'd probably be able to take Benadryl at 7 in the morning as a preemptive measure.
Right. Specifically with allergies, though, usually people, like, they're being medicated for it, like in the spring, they'll take it as a 24-hour thing. They won't have any symptoms. You're trying to make it so they don't have any.
And if they wouldn't take their allergy medicine during the spring, they would be at a situation later in the day that they would be sort of really, like, out of commission, then it would be mutter. If it would just be uncomfortable later in the day, then it might be an issue.
Isn't it also true that if you're on a medication for an extended period of time, by the time you get to Shabbos, there's less time or anyways? Like, let's say antibiotics.
No, antibiotics is a different situation. It's a different story. Yeah.
Don't stop.
Antibiotics take on Shabbos, but we're not getting into that now. Okay. Next, we talked about a mefush ba'alma, meaning just a small, mild pain. Then we'll, now it's, okay, just remind me I have to come back. I'm going out of order in my notes, just remind me I have to come back. So now let's talk about the next stage. Next stage is a chola she'ein bo sakana. Chola she'ein bo sakana is what we've been avoiding until now, which is somebody who has a lot of pain, but there's no danger whatsoever. Nevertheless, they are in pain such that what? That's going to be the big question. How much pain is pain enough to warrant taking Advil, taking Benadryl on Shabbos? And here the Ramah says, and we're going to have to clarify it, because the Masorah in this yeshiva is a very makel in this, and it's a good kula to have. So the Ramah says that if a person's mutal l'mishkav falls to his bed, is bedridden, that warrants taking medicines on Shabbos. Meaning, let's just understand the parameters. Chazal said, we're worried that you might come to crush herbs to get medication. So therefore, don't take medication. But there's a general rule that Chazal never established takanas derabanan in order to mess up your lives, in order to cause you hafsedim. That's why dinim derabanan sometimes behafsim ruv don't apply. In a way that will mess up a community, sometimes yisurim derabanan don't apply. That's why there's a heter, something called tzorchei rabim. And similarly, derabanan don't want to mess up your, don't want to make you be in a lot of pain. Their interest in making takanas derabanan is where to, yes, make your life more mindful of halacha, but not to make you miserable, and therefore b'makom tsar, or b'makom in a place where there's significant pain, they never made their gzera d'rabbanan. So what's the level, what's the barometer of specific pain? I always laugh when you go to a hospital, and you know they ask you, okay, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much pain are you in? So it has nothing to do with how much pain people are in, it has only to do with their personalities. There's certain personalities that are very like, oh my gosh, I can't deal with this, like everything's a 10, like East WTEP. And other people, like, they could handle, you know, they could handle, you know, they just got, like, you know, appendix removed, and the doctor forgot to, like, give them anesthesia, and like, yeah, I could deal with it, it's like a 2.5. It's really, I always laugh at that, but, okay. So where do we have this barometer? So is it a 4, is it a 7? So Chazal say if you're in bed, now it doesn't mean that you're actually in bed, it means that you're sometimes, like, you know, especially Jewish men push themselves to go to shul even if they really normal people would otherwise be in bed. So, or maybe, you know, women as well. If you push yourself just because you have this religious thing that you want to be in shul, you don't want to miss shul. So, I don't care if you're going to shul. If somebody like you who's normal and doesn't have this religious, you know, these religious concerns of pushing themselves to do this, pushing themselves to do that, right? You have a really terrible headache, but you don't want to miss the Seder. So, could you take an Advil? Well, you're not in bed, you're sitting at the Seder, you're doing everything, you're eating your matzah, you're drinking your wine, you know, but it doesn't matter. Since a normal person with your, with God forbid, with that level of headache would be in bed, they would be permitted to take medication. That's bedridden. Next, the Ramah says, somebody who's chole b'chol gufo, if they're sick in their whole body, I don't know what that, you know, how to translate that, would also warrant taking medication. So Shasta sees, what's the common denominator between chole b'chol gufo and somebody who is bedridden? Roshata says, the common denominator, I think you might have heard from Soloveitchik, is somebody who is not functioning normally. And that's the psak that I've followed from him. If a person is not functioning normally, you have to know what's functioning normally for yourself and for your family, for the people that you interact with. Is that called functioning normally? If you're not functioning normally, so this is also the reason why all psychiatric medications in general are assumed to be fine, because they affect how a person functions normally. So, for example, if a person has medication for ADHD and the like, that would also affect their, it's not, they're not in pain, they're not in chol sheh b'chol gufo, but nevertheless it affects their functionality, and they would be able to use that medication. If a person, it's not the most terrible, you know, it's not the most terrible pain, you know, it's not a, you know, a headache that that is a splitting headache that I have to be in bed for, but, you know, I just sit there, you know, sometimes you get that headache, you come from work with a headache, and you just sit on the couch and do nothing for 4 hours. What do you mean? But you're supposed to respond to a few emails, you're supposed to, you know, do laundry tonight and wash some dishes and make yourself stop, you're just sitting there on the couch, really can't do anything. You're not in terrible pain at all. That might be, like your chef is saying, you're not functioning normally, and such a level of uncomfort would warrant taking medication. Now let's go to that shayla that I mentioned 10 minutes ago. That my first shayla, as that lady came into shul, she twisted her ankle. Is she in incredible pain? I mean, only she stands on it, but she doesn't have to stand on it. The problem is, could she walk home normally, which is functioning normally? Absolutely not. She cannot walk home normally. Therefore, well, A, of course she'd be permitted to take, you know, a painkiller, but more than that, this is the next point, we are allowed to do Amir Lenachri, period, in all circumstances, for somebody in this level of pain, of a Chol Sheim Basakana. And therefore, what I said in that situation is that that woman with a sprained ankle could ask security to drive her home to her apartment on Bennett on Yom Kippur, even if it's Shechal Yos B'Shabbos, because, again, she's not going to open the door. She'll go in the car, asking the guy to drive, and going in the car, that's only in the Siddur Rabbanan of Amir L'Nachri, and Amir L'Nachri will be permitted L'Chatchila for somebody who is a Chola She'en Bo Sakana. Therefore, if a person's not feeling well, and they want the lights on, they want the lights off, they want something from, you know, done in their house, they could ask their maid, they could ask the next door neighbor who's not Jewish, to do whatever malachas need to be done to help them feel better. Now, we're going to get to something a little bit interesting. Halacha is also, the Gemara, I think the Gemara might say this, that let's, yeah.
If this Hoshin Yusakana kind of also apply when discomfort is affecting someone's mental state, so say for example, like the air conditioner is not on and it's really hot, but most people can stand it, but like there's some people who, when they're really hot, like,
That's a good question. That's a different issue. I don't want to get into that because air conditioners and heaters is a different area of halacha. You're not talking about pain. You're talking about I'm sticky, I'm hot and schwitzy. So I'm nervous to call that pain. It is mutter to ask a guy to turn on heat because the Gemara says hakol cholim eitz lahatzina. When it comes to getting colds and cold, everybody is in danger of possibly becoming sick from the cold, and therefore, based on the halacha we just said, you could ask a guy to do a malacha to prevent, for a scenario of chalashim basakana, and even to prevent somebody from becoming a chalashim basakana. The poskim debate whether that applies equally to turning on the air conditioner. In our, you know, if it's a hot, stuffy, midsummer night, Shakespeare? Who was that?
Shakespeare, thank you.
If it was a hot, stuffy midsummer night, then in the middle of August in Washington Heights, people could get sick from, you know, those kinds of hot, stuffy apartment situations. So then many poskim would extend what Chazal said about the cold, and they extend it to the inverse, also to allow going to turn on air conditioners. That's a question.
It's affecting someone's mental state. It's not really a factor as much. It's more like a physical illness.
I'm nervous to say, like, mental state means you're not comfortable and you're grouchy, you're irritable. I know what you mean. Like, yeah. When it's really hot and sticky, you're lethargic, you don't want to do anything, you just feel all icky. I'm scared to call that a cholesh. I don't want to call that a cholesh. I'm not saying that's... It might still be mutter, but I just... Let's do that separately. Yeah.
When you are allowed to do a Mila Nachri, are you allowed to ask them straight out?
Yes. When there's a heter of a Mila Nachri, you do not have to make say a remez. When there's no heter of Mila Nachri, remez doesn't help you. So it's not like, oh, you can do whatever you want as long as you are merames. There are certain situations where you're not allowed to do a full Mila Nachri, but you're allowed to do something, then you do a remez, but people shouldn't think that as long as they do it with a remez, it's mutter, that's wrong. That's a mistake, misconception. That's another series of shirim, not for tonight. We could spend a week or a month or a few months on Mila Nachri, when you could just ask them to do things straight, when you can't ask them to do anything at all, and when remez would be permitted. But we have this, is with Shiloh that we had in the Pirkei Avos here a few weeks ago. We came in and the lights were off, but it was still daylight and we were still able to see, but not so well. So what did we come out? Who was there then? We came out that even though it was at Tzibur, that it was permitted with Derech Remez. I think we came out since we could read any. We were there.
Yeah.
Since it was for the tzibur and you could read anyway. It wasn't that he enabled us to read. We were able to read anyways to make it easier. Then it would be permitted with Derech Remez.
What if it's like at a Shabbos table? I don't like bringing it to a different conversation. But what if it's at a Shabbos table where the lights went out because of an electric?
On a Friday night or a Shabbos day, there's a difference.
Friday night.
That's not as simple, because turning on lights might be a Sederaisa, and Mila Nachri will be a solid Sederaisa.
What goes on beforehand?
So you're not even talking about the same situation. You're talking about the power went out.
Let's not talk about it. There are a lot of variations based on your Shalach, because it's not just asking them to do a Malacha. It's also being Nana directly from their turning on lights, from an Sederaisa that was done on Shabbos, even though it's done by a guy. Let's do it now. Not for now. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehachanu Nevi Baruch. Listen to this. Let's say, God forbid, somebody's not feeling well. You know what helps, and they want to go to sleep. But they can't fall asleep, something's bothering them. You know what will help them fall asleep? Anyone here play the piano? No one here plays the piano? Okay, what do you play?
I play the piano.
So what's not nice and what's a soft,
I play
nice...
Bigger.
What?
I play the flute.
Okay, so you play the flute? Okay, so you'll have a... If so-and-so hears a duet of a flute with a piano, some nice soft music, they'll be able to fall asleep. So is that going to be mutter? For Liba and Yocheved, who are both Jews, are they going to be allowed to play on Shabbos to help that person fall asleep? The answer is, of course, the answer is yes. Yes, they can. So to help somebody who is a cholish, again, somebody has a really splitting headache, they have a migraine, they're not functioning normally, it is permitted for a Jew to play soft music, to be mashmei kol, to help them fall asleep. Let me just clarify. The isser of playing music is what kind of an isser? Don't say that. That's what I didn't want you to say. That's what I knew you were going to say. It's not a malacha d'rabbanan, it's a gzeira d'rabbanan. Right? There's a difference. Malacha d'rabbanan means you're doing this malacha d'raisa, if you do it with some different kind of way, with a shini, as in malacha shena tzrich legufa, or something that's in some indirect way, then it knocks it down to a malacha d'rabbanan. That's not what we're talking about. Playing music on Shabbos is not on any malacha in the world. Not the d'rabbanan or d'raisa. It's just a gzeira. You might come to something else. And if it's for the sake of helping a cholish ein bo sakana fall asleep, for example, then we will not have the iser, the gzeira de rabbanan of mashmei kol applied, and therefore you would be able to play your flute and help somebody who's not feeling well fall asleep. Similarly, if there would be a scenario where, let's say, the Magen Avraham says the following. Let's say a person has like an ear infection or something. They're in a lot of pain, they have a little fever, so they get a doctor to come, and the non-Jewish doctor comes, checks out the ear, and yep, there's an infection. So he wants to get a prescription. So let's leave aside the commerce aspect, we'll have a guy do that, we'll have security. We had a shot, this came up last year, somebody on campus needed a prescription filled on Shabbos, so I just told him, based on what we're learning right now, it's a Chol Shem Bozekon. I said, oh, just have a guy do it. So I asked the guy in security, I know the captain, I said, do me a favor, do you mind putting out the money and they'll take care of it after Shabbos? He says, no problem, Rabbi Yorli, and we'll take care of it, Saturday night, and we paid him.
There's one on the other side of the Heights. I don't know if it's still there, but it was there like 2 years ago. You can pay after.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh,
don't use the signs.
On 181st.
Okay, that's good to know. I didn't know that.
One of my roommates will
come out. Okay. So, the halacha is that let's say the doctor comes and a non-Jewish doctor says, yep, you need such and such. Give me a pen. He wants to write the prescription. So, are you allowed to hand him a pen? Pens are muktzah, right? So are you allowed to violate Muktzah d'Rabbanan to help this person with get the prescription for his ear infection? Or are you allowed to be metaltal Muktzah for somebody who is a Chol She'en Bo Sakana, who has a really bad headache or a migraine or something? So the halacha is that, again, Muktzah is not a Malacha d'Rabbanan. It's not like there's a Malacha d'Araisa called X and this is just changing a little bit so it's only a Malacha d'Rabbanan now. No. Muktzah is a gzeira, it's a creation that Chazal created called Muktzah. It's not a malacha d'rabbanan, it's just a gzeira. Maybe you might come to carry something outdoors where there's no Erev. So therefore, Muktzah also, if it's necessary, is permitted to help a chola she'en bo sakana. So for whatever example, in this example, as the Magen Avraham says, you would be permitted, again, if you could just say to the Gentile doctor, there's a pen right there, do you mind getting it? You could just, if that's just not, he's just, I don't know, he's, the doctor's a little bit irritable or something like that, and he's not the easiest person to deal with, so you could just take a pen, hand it to the doctor at Shabbos, so the doctor could write the prescription, because Muktzah is only Gzeira d'Rabbanan. Along the similar lines, let me have one more example of this sort. Let's say somebody's sick and they would feel better if they take a shower. So this actually, when women are, when they go to, what's it called, the classes? Childbirth classes, this is one of the things that the childbirth teachers say, that if a person's in pain, sometimes if they let hot water run on their body releases serotonin.
I don't know.
So sometimes when I have migraines, I do exactly this. I let hot water, very, very, very hot water run, like wherever the part of my head that I have my headache in, and that actually, after a few minutes, causes the pain, maybe just releases the, I think it expands the blood. Headaches are caused by constriction of blood vessels in the brain, in the head. So if you could do something to loosen the constriction, that's called what? I'll give you a hint. It starts with an N, S, A, I, T. Non-steroidal anti-inflammatory something or other. I think that's exactly what they do. I think that's how Advil works. Yeah. No? That's not how it works? I'm totally off. Okay, I'm totally wrong. Thank you for those in medical school and PA schools. I'm totally wrong. Okay, fine. I'm wrong. Sorry. Okay, that was cute. That was a good idea, but I'm wrong. Anyway, so there's somebody who's a chol shein v'sakana, and they want to take a hot bath, a hot shower, to make them feel better. Okay, so they're not going to do that. They'll ask the guy to do it. But wait a second. The guy turning on the hot water, mutter, for a chol shein v'sakana. Amir l'nachri is permitted. What about the isser on the side of the chol shein themselves? There's an isser to take a hot bath or a hot shower on Shabbos, regardless of if the water was turned on or not. Meaning, the water turning on is one issue. We solved that with amir l'nachri, which is permitted for this individual who's sick and in pain. But what about the person, the sick person, getting into a bath, getting into the warm pool? Shiloh, even men going to the mikveh have the same, this is one of the arguments against Hasidim who go to the mikveh in a hot mikveh on Shabbos, that there's an iser called gzeras habalanim, which the chacham were concerned, balanim were people who, the bathhouse attendants, in the olden days, they weren't the most scrupulous, honest group of people, and they used to tell everybody, oh yeah, we heated up the water before Shabbos. And meanwhile, while everyone else is in shul, listening to Kriyas HaTorah, they, put a few extra sticks in the bathhouse to make sure that the customers would be happy. So Chazal said, Gzeiras HaBalanim, a Gzeira to avoid these people, these unscrupulous bathhouse attendants. We don't want to let Jews be in hot water on Shabbos. No hot showers, no hot baths. And therefore, would a sick person be permitted, again, the guy turns on the hot water, would a sick person be permitted to take a hot shower or a hot bath? The halacha is, yes, it is mutter. Why? The guy did the malacha of boiling up the water, turning on the water. Why is it permitted for the guy, for the Jew, to violate an issur d'rabbanan of going into the bath, going into the shower? The answer is, because this is a gzeiras habalanim. It's not a malacha d'oraisa, knocked down to be only a malacha d'rabbanan. The issur of going into a hot bath, shower, tub, mikvah, whatever it is not an issur d'oraisa, only issur d'rabbanan. No! It's not a malacha whatsoever, neither malacha d'oraisa nor malacha d'rabbanan. It's only a gzeira. They made a special gzeira to prevent these unscrupulous bathhouse attendants from adding wood on fire to the bathhouse, the bathhouse pool. That's a gzeira, not a malacha d'rabbanan, but a gzeira. Shema, somebody might come to do that. And that is permitted for a chol shein bo sakana. So therefore, what we're realizing is that when it comes to a chol shein bo sakana, we do not permit malacha d'rabbanan. Anything that could be a malacha d'oraisa, and you knocked it down to be a malacha d'rabbanan, that's not going to be permitted for a chol shein bo sakana. What we are saying that is permitted for a chol shein bo sakana is gzeiros. A gzeira of playing music, which is usually aser, because you might come to be talking klishir, that's mutter. Are you allowed to ride on a horse? If the bump, 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 right? You're going bump, bump, bump on the back of a horse. Is that going to be mutter on Shabbos? Let's say, the bumping will make your headache go away. So what's the reason why you can't ride the back of a horse? Gzeira that you might come and, while you're, grab a tree, a little branch and hit the horse. So a gzeira, if it's for chol shein bo sakana, and this person says that he'll or she will feel better with the bumping on the back of a horse, go figure it out. That would be mutter for chol shein bo sakana. Music will be mutter. Taking a pill is, again, it's only gzeira that you might come to. It's not that taking a pill is an Isser Drabban of Shchika Samamonim. No, it's not an Isser Drabban of Tochein. It's Exer, you might come to do Tochein. So therefore, taking a pill is permitted for this person on Shabbos. Any questions about Kol HaShem V'Sakan? Yeah.
So I was just thinking about when we were talking about the air conditioning and stuff. So we would define a Kol HaShem V'Sakan who's in pain, isn't it? Like, because of some kind of physical ailment?
Not you're saying just if you're just really uncomfortable, but there's nothing, there's no pain involved whatsoever,
right,
you're just really
like,
icky.
There's nothing that you can measure in your body that is caused. Like, if you have a headache, there's something wrong inside your head. You know, if you have your ankles hurting, it's because you twisted something or tore something or strained something. So, like, if you're just in pain and there's no physical reason why, like, if it's just hot outside, would that qualify as pain?
I don't know
pain?
If that's called pain or...
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, what is the definition of pain? Is it that there is definitely, like, something measurable that is wrong with you?
I think that's something that we sort of know. There's pain and there's feeling icky. So far we've been talking about pain. You're saying, what happens if somebody's just very uncomfortable, had a class
no,
like that?
No, I'm not
that's
even
not,
asking that.
That's not, I don't know the answer right now. Okay. Not sure. Okay, somebody asked before, what about a child? So the halacha is that a child, all the needs of a child, all of tzarchei tinok, are always considered, regardless if it's a little bit, they're in a little pain, they're in no pain, they have needs, would all the needs of a child go into the category of everything we just discussed as a chol she'ein bo sakana. Therefore, if a child needs whatever it is that they need, then you're allowed to ask a goy to do malacha for that child. The question is, how old is a child such that they could take any medication, even if it's just a tiny pain? They could, like, give Benadryl, for example. My little baby has allergies, so can we just give him Benadryl without thinking twice? Or do we have to, we have to see that he's really miserable enough that he, no, absolutely not. Even a tiny little bit of uncomfort, you can give him some Benadryl. Tell a guy to do whatever he needs, or she, this little baby needs. How old? So, Diane Weiss, Mechas Yitzhak Yaakov Weiss, I think, is in the based in the Badatz in Yerushalayim. He had the following cheshbon to say that it's until 8 years old, and the cheshbon sounds really good. The halacha is that when do you start fasting before your bar mitzvah or bas mitzvah? So the Yerushalmi says that healthy children should fast 2 years before their bar or bas mitzvah, and the Yerushalmi says that 2 years before that they should start fasting half a day. So what do you get? If you do the math, let's say for bas mitzvah, at 8 years old they should start fasting for half a day. At 10 years old they should start fasting for a full day. That's what the Yerushalmi says. So based on that, the Menachas Yitzchak sees from this Yerushalmi that 8 years old is the cutoff when we see somebody below 8 is just a little kid, and once they're 8 they already start, doing the fasting thing. However, Rosh Efter pointed out that the Yerushalmi talking about fasting has nothing halachically to do with whether a person is a chola or not a chola. Just saying how you educate children to fast. It has nothing to do with the discussion that we're having, which is a question of how much pain a person is in, and if we're allowed to be mechalal, violating Yisurim D'Rabbanan for the pain that a person is in. Rather, Shefter says, it has absolutely nothing to do with age. As long as there's a child, if they're not functioning normally, then one is permitted to give them medication, ask the guy to do malacha for them, violate the gzeras, whatever that kid's maturity level. If a one-year-old is not acting the way a one-year-old should normally act, if an 11-year-old is not acting the way an 11-year-old normally should act, because they're uncomfortable, because they're in a little bit of pain or something bothers them, that gives that child, even if it's not a lot of pain, if it's making them not act the way that level of maturity should be acting, we will give them all the dispensations, all the leniencies of a chol she'ein bo sakana, and be permitted to give them medication, be permitted to ask a guy, which is the reason why, and this has happened many a time, let's say you're taking your niece, nephew, little brother to shul. And on the way home, and he walks to shul, great, because he knows he's going to the candy man. On the way home, it's already an hour and a half later, and he's already bed, he's already nap time. and he decides he's not walking home. Let's say he's 2.5. So he knows how to walk. But he sits down, plops himself on the floor, and he is not walking home unless you carry him. There's no Erev. So you try to reason with him, and you don't get so far. You try bribing him, and you don't get so far. And there's only one option. You either give him a lollipop right now, but you don't have a lollipop, and you can't bring a lollipop because there's no Erev, or he sits on the floor for the rest of Shabbos. Those are the two choices. So, are you allowed to ask a guy to carry him home? Based on what we just said, yes. Because it's the tzorech of a tinok, a tzorech of the baby's needs to be not sitting on the floor for 5 hours, and that will automatically get the din of a cholish ein bo sakana. And therefore, amilu nachri is permitted, and therefore again, the first thing to do would be not to have taken them in the first place. That would be the smartest thing. Once we made that mistake, the next thing would be to try to bribe them. Once bribing doesn't work, try to threaten them maybe, I don't know. If you don't go, I will. Then the next stage would be to ask a guy to carry so that you could do a milah nachri for a tzorech of a child. Yeah.
If there isn't a guy, could you carry the child?
So if there's no guy, could you carry the child? So then if it's a... Certainly if it's on the street, yes, because that's dangerous. It's a Carmelis. Most of the places where we live is what's called a Carmelis, which is called a like Rosh Hashanah and Rabbanan. It's not really Rosh Hashanah and Daraisa. In almost all neighborhoods in the world, it's only almost all Jewish neighborhoods. And if need would be in a Carmelis, it's a Gadol, then, you know, and they could walk anyway, there might be room to be lenient, but we have to spend more time on that specific question. That's a more involved question. I'm not ready to get into that right now.
Didn't we say that you're only allowed to break zero still? Wouldn't...
Amila Nachri is not a Malacha Durabana. Are you asking about carrying this specifically?
Yeah.
That's a good point. It happens to be that carrying in a Carmelis is not considered a Malacha Derabanan. It's called a Gzera. Without getting into that now, I'm not sure if I know why, but that's just, yeah, carrying in a Carmelis is not a Malacha Derabanan, rather it's a Gzera Derabanan.
Okay.
Next. Okay, I think we should stop here. What I'd like to talk about next time is what would be the parameters of being able to come back from a hospital. Let's say you went to the hospital on Shabbos or you took someone to the hospital on Shabbos. What would be the parameters of being able to come back on Shabbos, either driving back or getting a car service back or having somebody or getting a train or some other kind of way back or walking back? That's what I'd like to talk about next time, perhaps. Next time we do this topic. And also talk about paying for medical services on Shabbos. That'll be for next time. Thank you very much for coming, and wonderful. Have a wonderful year.